Okay, so it's peace ceremony day. I wore my tennis shoes to walk in the grass and the rocks to get down there. I brought a hat and sunglasses, and I hope you're as equally prepared. And I'll tell you the details of it at the end, but we're going to walk down there as a group in silence, led by the teens. So the ending of the service will be a little different than usual. Also, you know, I think you know that we have some virtual fans online, a growing group of people who listen to us. And I've been emailing recently with a woman in England named Anne, who says we are part of her Monday ritual, that listening to our service is what she does, and she feels very much a part of our church. She's even started sending in prayer requests. So would you like to say hello to Anne?
Yes.
All right. And she's probably thinking, those loud Americans. We started last week with these 10 steps to healing, which I distilled from books by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founders. Last week we talked about the healing power of joy and being aware of our oneness with the divine. Today's about words. We'll talk about affirmations and denials. That's one step to healing. But the other is just plain words, like how you answer when someone asks, how are you? Because whatever you say becomes reality. You probably don't launch into a litany of your ailments when someone asks how you are, do you? But how enthusiastic is your answer? I'm fine, can't complain, I'm good. That's what I say, I'm good. I've told you about the minister in Dallas who always answered, I'm terrific. When I knew he had all sorts of physical problems and an invalid wife at home, and I thought, I just can't get a straight answer from this guy. But he was creating his experience. He was affirming the good. He was looking past appearances. When Jesus healed people, he looked past the appearance of leprosy or paralysis. Not that it wasn't real, but he saw the perfection of the divine creation. And he called it forth from them. Their faith made them well, he said, the divine in them. Remember last week, we said illness is not your natural state of being. You are God in expression, and God is never sick. So there is a part of you that's never sick, your true self. The best answer I've heard to how are you comes from Bobby Mae Matthews, who doesn't appear to be here today. But you know, when you ask how are you, she says, flawless. And that's the truth. The divine being you are is without flaws. So the idea is to keep your focus at that highest level of consciousness to surround yourself. Fillmore said, surround yourself with words that suggest spiritual things. I thought it was so funny. Charles Fillmore said, the time is coming, this was 1939, when it will be unlawful to print in the daily papers any record of crime or of anything that will bring discord into the minds of the readers. He said people would demand pure reading the way they demand pure food. I'm almost glad he's not alive to see the news or the food. But Charles and Myrtle both said the walls do have ears. Every word you speak is soaked up in your surroundings, and that consciousness is held there. And you know that. You've walked into a room that just feels unpleasant, or you walk into a room that's full of your own unhappy memories and sad thoughts, and you feel it again. Our thoughts fill our physical space and stay. That's why some of you smudge with sage, to clear the energy of a space. You can do it without sage, you know. So when your life isn't what you want, check your thoughts and words. Actually, just listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. Your words will tell you what you're thinking, and sometimes it's a surprise. Notice your self-talk, too, especially about health. Are you going over and over what hurts in your body? Just thinking. Are you thinking about all the diseases this might be, or rehearsing what you'll tell the doctor, You're drawing on the same vital force that could be healing you, but you're using it to nourish thoughts of fear. We know the mind acts on the body. You get to choose how. A good way to change your thoughts is to change your words. We have a time delay on our words. Most people do. So we can be more careful with them. And it forces us to think in a new way. Charles wrote two books about healing. This is Jesus Christ Heals. He said, a word with a lazy idea back of it will not stimulate the mind or heal the body. The word must represent swift, strong, spiritual ideas if they are to infuse the white energy of God into the mind. He said that's what Jesus did. When Jesus said things like, I and the Father are one, or I am the light of the world, all authority is given to me on heaven and on earth, Fillmore says, these were some of the claims with which Jesus stimulated his mind. And he produced the results. He fulfilled his words. He even raised the dead. Charles says, after 2,000 years, we really ought to have more people living in the consciousness of Jesus, the Christ consciousness. We don't, he says, because we have focused on what Jesus did and not how he thought and what he said. So pay attention to his words. And Jesus himself said, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. Fillmore says he didn't copyright his words or forbid anyone else to use them. He importuned you and me to keep them as he kept them, right in his heart, to realize that this is no idle repetition of words, but the setting up of a living fire in the soul that will never go out. This is what the words of Jesus will do for everybody who keeps them in the inner sanctuary of the mind. And then I love this. He says they will kindle a fire there that will burn higher and higher until it licks the very canopy of heaven and burns a hole in the blue vault of truth, revealing the wonders of God to the astonished eyes of man. Whoa! Charles was on a roll. But he's describing the power of words. So let me tell you a story about healing with words. Most of you have heard this story, but if you've ever had kids, you know we like to hear stories over and over. Before they founded Unity in 1889, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore had both been sick since childhood. Charles grew up in Minnesota when it was still Indian territory, and he fell through the ice one winter when he was 10 and injured his hip. It never healed properly. His leg withered and became much shorter than the other one. He wore a shoe that was built up by several inches and walked with crutches. Myrtle was told she was sickly like her father and would probably die young. What a message for a child. So she was sickly. The diagnosis was tuberculosis and malaria, I don't know. But by the time she was 40, the doctor said she had 6 months to live. And she had two toddlers at home. Western medicine didn't have a lot to offer in the 1880s. So Charles and Myrtle Fillmore investigated spiritual healing. At the time, there was a growing awareness about the power of mind over body. Ralph Waldo Emerson had written in the 1830s and 40s about the power of the human spirit and the presence of the soul. Charles Fillmore studied Emerson and Shakespeare and Eastern religions and metaphysics. Charles had almost no schooling, but he could read. So one night, Charles and Myrtle were living in Kansas City and they went to hear a metaphysical lecture by a man named E.B. Weeks. And Myrtle heard something that changed her life. She came out of that gathering with the idea, I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. She didn't have to accept that she would always be sickly and die young like her father. She had direct access to the divine within her and its perfection. She spent hours every day in meditation. How she did that with now three little boys under seven, I don't know. But she talked to her body. She used words to heal her body. She said she was consciously directing the life force. She said life is a form of energy that has to be guided by intelligence. And we express our intelligence through thinking and speaking, using words. So she wrote about it later. This is actually a whole essay on how she healed, and I won't read you the whole thing, but I love this. I love her vocabulary in this passage. She said, "I told the life in my liver that it was not torpid or inert, but full of vigor and energy. I told the life in my stomach that it was not weak or inefficient, but energetic, strong, and intelligent." The intelligent stomach. That's a book title somehow. "I told the life in my abdomen that it was no longer infested with ignorant ideas of disease, put there by myself and by doctors, but that it was all a thrill with the sweet, pure, wholesome energy of God. I told my limbs that they were active and strong. I told my eyes that they were young eyes, clear, bright eyes, because the light of God shone right through them. I told my heart that the pure love of Jesus Christ flowed in and out through its beatings, and that all the world felt its joyous pulsations. I went to all the life centers in my body and spoke words of truth to them, words of strength and power. And then," she says, "I asked their forgiveness for the foolish, ignorant course that I had pursued in the past, when I had condemned them and called them weak, inefficient, and diseased. I did not become discouraged at their being slow to wake up, but kept right on, both silently and aloud, declaring the words of truth until the organs responded." She healed herself and lived another 43 years. Charles didn't talk about it as much, but there is one book where he says he regrew that leg. We know that by the time he was in his 90s, he wore a shoe that was built up about 1 inch, and he walked with just a cane, and he was very sprightly. So there was a healing there too. Myrtle wrote later that she understands why we don't appreciate our bodies or even wish we didn't have one. She said, "Sometimes our souls get so busy fulfilling their purposes that we neglect our bodies." So she said, and she may have been talking to herself, "Our first duty then is to bless our body and to get our thoughts right down into it, to praise its wonderful work, to learn what its needs are and to supply them." I think it helps to talk to your body like a child. "What's the matter, honey?" And then listen. Notice the first thought that comes to you. Reassure your body, you'll take care of it. Pay attention when it wants attention. You can even ask if it has a message for you, if an illness has a message for you. Myrtle said she spoke to the life in her organs, the divine energy that animates us all, and she directed it. That's what words do. Ideas start in thought, but they're expressed in words. So words are powerful. They are directing the life force. That's how we create our experience, and that's why we're careful with words. This is Charles in a book called Christian Healing. He said, "What we think, we usually express in words, and our words bring about in our life and affairs whatever we put into them." He said, "You're talking about a weak stomach, we'll make your stomach weak. You're talking about your bad liver, we'll fix that idea in your liver. The usual conversation among people creates ill health instead of good health because of wrong words." He said words have a vibratory power. He said a vocalist can shatter a wine glass. Every time we speak, we cause the atoms of the body to tremble and change their places. Thus, every word brings forth after its kind. Your body hears every word you say and rearranges the cells accordingly. So, how do you know the right words? How do you figure out what to say? Let's talk some more about affirmations and denials. Notice the pattern of denials and affirmations in Myrtle's words. Her liver was not torpid and inert, but full of energy and vigor. Her stomach was not weak and inefficient, that's a denial, but energetic, strong, and intelligent, that's an affirmation. Denials and affirmations are both statements of truth, one about what's not true and one what is true, even if you can't see it. Actually, we deny the power of what exists. It's still real. This is not head-in-the-sand denial. You deny its power over you. It's a lot like clearing the old energy out of a room. Myrtle said we have a lot of clearing to do because we have held wrong thoughts for ages. In particular, belief in sin, sickness, and death. Denials get rid of our false sense of something. Myrtle said they sweep away the gulf between us and the kingdom of heaven. We dissolve false beliefs with denials and make room for our true self to emerge. You're not denying what's happening. You're denying its power over you. It can't make you feel a certain way. It can't force you off your path. Nothing outside of you can hinder your happiness, health, or power. So affirm what you want. Use positive words. I am strong, healthy, and vigorous. The light of truth illumines my mind and body. I am whole and well. I attune to wholeness and express perfect health. Those are affirmations from the Daily Word website. You can look them up, dailyword.com, or you can make up your own. By changing the words you speak, you're changing your attitude and your thoughts. Everything we see is our externalized thought. Thoughts become things, Myrtle said, including our bodies. And Jesus, who used so many affirmations, talked about the power of words. He said, this is Matthew, he said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Yikes. But that's the law. Every day is judgment day, in that we reap whatever we have sown in the past with our past words. We condemn ourselves to illness, unhappiness, fear, and worry by the words we choose. If words create our experience, then words will determine whether we're happy or not. Everything you say today is setting you up for tomorrow. You're deciding how it's going to be. Myrtle said, never comment on error. Which is kind of like if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. But it's not about manners. It's about what we want to evoke with divine energy. Our thoughts and words create our experience. That's the law. And by the way, you don't have to be feeling at one with God for this to work. The law is always in effect. Myrtle said, if you really want to practice this, set a daily intention. And she spelled it out by days of the week. You want to know how to do it? Yeah. Monday, focus on your statement of being. That's about oneness. So you could use our statement, there's only one presence and one power in my life. It's knowing you are part of the one mind that contains all answers and solutions. Tuesday, deny all day. I think you could really get into this. I picture Maleficent throwing lightning bolts. I deny the power of this headache. I deny the power of my children to irritate me. And then Wednesday, affirmations. Always follow denial with affirmation. Withdraw the error, then build in the good, Charles said. It's like weeding a garden. If you just leave it, weeds will grow back. So plant something positive. I am healthy and energetic. I am a patient and loving mother. And your divine being really is. Whenever you say, I am, it's the divine in you. I am the light of the world. Jesus used this a lot. Thursday, focus on faith. We'll talk about faith later in this series. On Fridays, Myrtle said, declare every word an effectual working agent for good. I think that means focus on the power of all your words, not just your affirmations. But how do you answer when someone asks, how are you? How do you describe your day? How do you predict what the evening will be like? And then Saturday, declare yourself perfect in the sight of an understanding God and praise his works. Imagine spending a whole day seeing yourself as God sees you, a divine creation, having a human experience, and always learning. And praise his works, that's about gratitude. Then Sunday, Myrtle said, wait in the silence. That's meditation, quiet time, solitude, Sabbath, whatever you do to open a space within to receive guidance and blessings. The words we use create and frame our experience. The way we talk about it is the way we'll experience it. That's why we focus on being positive. If you're having trouble with it, ask for help. A woman I know who went through a couple of big health scares recently asked the doctors at every test to think positively about her. You can ask our chaplains for prayer. You can lean on friends, the ones who won't worry about you, but will know you are healing now. Let someone else stand in faith when you can't. Healing is such a huge issue for us, and always has been. Most of Jesus' miracles were to heal. Charles Fillmore in 1939 was complaining about ads from drug companies that kept everybody focused on illness. Someday, people will read our history and be astonished that we ever let our bodies get sick, or that we believed in disease and aging and decline. If you want to stop believing in it now, stop talking about it. Try it just for this week. Pay attention to your words. Make them positive and see whether your experience changes. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. To meditate, we relax and close our eyes. Maybe take a deep breath. And feel your body. Just notice that you have one. Pay attention to how it's feeling. This is your vehicle for the human experience. Love it, appreciate it. Take care of it and reassure it that you're paying attention. We know that we are not just our bodies, that there is so much more in us than our physical being. So we also call on that divine presence for healing, for soothing, for repairing anything in our physical bodies that needs attention. We're grateful to know that we are not just physical and not just spiritual. Integrating those two is our purpose for being here. And so take a moment to find words of praise for your body. Pick out one or two spots that you especially appreciate, the feet that carry you anywhere you need to go, the stomach that digests everything you throw at it or drink, the mind that has seen you through so many times of turmoil and of joy. Take a moment to appreciate your body. No matter how our bodies may break or get sick or get hurt, we appreciate them for carrying us through this life experience And when they've had enough, when the bodies have had enough, we'll move on somewhere else. Grateful to have taken this journey on earth. Grateful never to have been separate from the divine presence. And so we say thank you for this awareness. And thank you, God, for our health, our healing, and our lives. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.